Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And this is another top five countdown for you. And it's also one of our 12 days of the Comic Source Podcast. And so Manny and I are doing a bunch of these quick top five episodes, just about whatever topics we wanted to talk about. They've been a lot of fun to do. And let us know. Reach out on social media and let us know if you guys like these top fives. Again, if you've been listening to them, there's no collaboration ahead of time. Sometimes our lists are completely wildly different, and other times, like with the most overused characters, we had three out of the five the same. So pretty interesting there. So this one is going to be our top five non-superhero books. I don't think we're going to have crossover here, only because this one was so hard for me. I eventually narrowed it down. Let's see, I have eight. So if you do happen to pick one, Manny, that's on my list, I'm just going to, not mention it, and I'll just bring up one of my alternates. Not that they're in any particular order. So, and yeah, just like you, first book that popped into my head was Harbinger. We talked about this before, and then I was like, oh,
yeah,
is that a superhero? I mean, you could make the argument that it's not.
It is, though.
But here's the thing: like Valiant self describes itself as a shared superhero universe. You know, they say this is the largest, independent shared superhero universe in comics outside of Marvel and DC. So if they're calling their universe a superhero universe,
yeah,
say that it's not. So anyway, what's your first pick?
My first pick is Harrow County from Dark Horse. And that's written by Cullen Bunn. And the majority of the artwork, I think, is by Tyler Cook. The reason why I picked this is because this book and Scott Snyder's Witches are the two books that really had me diving headfirst into horror, the horror genre in comic books. Something I never thought I'd do. I just never really found the appeal to it. But just the way that Cullen Bunn does this book, it's just so good. It's creepy. It's pacing is so well. It's never too quick, but never also too, it doesn't lag enough to like drag the story along almost. It follows a character named Emmy, who on her 18th birthday finds out that she has all kinds of connections with all these creatures and in that area that she lives in. And we follow her creepy adventures. I mean, and then the art is just so good in it. The visuals as to the, to the story that Bunn's doing is just really good. I know that's actually my first year at Comic-Con. I got to talk to Colin about that book. And so that's an interview from from like 3 years ago that I did for the Comic Source, which was great. So yeah, that's my first pick. The funny thing is it's one of my favorites and I haven't finished it because I know recently there had been some new issues and I hadn't been able to catch up on it, but it holds a special place in my comic book heart.
You know, it would have been interesting if we had tried to guess each other's, because I think, I mean, I know for sure there's a couple on there. That I forgot about I forgot how much you loved Harrow County, but I guarantee like for sure there's one particular book.
Oh, duh. Even the one I talk about almost every other podcast or whenever I can.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple. So anyway, and I'm sure likewise, you could probably guess my first one here. It's one I talk about all the time, even on Twitter to this day. And you're upset at me that I got you on this book in the first place, because we never got an ending. We never got a...
Oh, God, yeah.
And so it's Clone from... from Skybound, the Robert Kirkman imprint over there at Image, written by David Schulner for the first arc, and then a couple of his writing partners, Wade McIntyre and Aaron Ginsberg, joined him for the rest of the series. Incredible art by Juan Jose Rip, the first time I ever saw his work. And yeah, like I just said, best cliffhangers ever, and like fast-paced narrative, interesting story. And oh my God, what I wouldn't give for more Clone in 2021. That would be amazing. But I don't know what else I can say. I've talked about this book so many different times, and it's just an amazing book. And it's David Schulner, learning how to write for comics and learning about cliffhangers and page turns and stuff like that. And he does it so masterfully. And God, it's just such a great, and it stands the test of time. I mean, this is a book I've read over and over and over. So I still recommend it, even though at least you're going to know. I got Manny hooked on it and he didn't know, because I didn't know at the time. It ends on a cliffhanger, and it's kind of, you know, they go on hiatus with issue, I think it's 22, and they're supposed to come back. And that was like in, how was it, 2014?
Spoiler alert, they don't come back.
No, well, they haven't yet. They haven't yet. So,
you mean just like honorable mention, Mark Silvestri's Rise of the Magi?
You know, I could have sworn I saw that solicited recently as a graphic novel. I could swear I did, but I don't quote me on that, because I could be maybe it was a dream, maybe it was wishful thinking.
Mark Silvestri probably hates me, because that's the only thing I'm asking about.
So yeah, Clone is my pick, non-superhero book. What's your second one?
Second is Aftershocks, Rough Riders by Adam Glass, with art by Patrick O'Leaf. It had a second book also, run or season. I don't know what you want to call it now, but I mean, I'm just a sucker for this kind of books that take place in the early days of the United States. And this book in particular, well, this isn't that early stages. It's almost like a team up book between historic figures that include Theodore Roosevelt, Harry Houdini, and Oakley, Jack Johnson, and Thomas Edison. And they come together to fight aliens out of all things. And it's just done so well. I enjoyed it. Obviously, each of them in their own respective fields in history, have their talents that are used in within the team, and they gotta fight aliens. And I'm a sucker for that kind of book. So I really enjoyed it. And then something else that makes this book special for me is it was my first post that I ever had on LRM online. It was a review for Rough Riders.
All right, since you picked an Aftershock book, I'll talk about my Aftershock book that's on my list. It's my favorite Aftershock book of all time. It's written by Paul Jenkins, art by Andy Clark. Sci-fi and fun and humor, and the art by Andy Clark is absolutely gorgeous. I have dedicated specific episodes to breaking down issues on Aftershock Monday. It's Replica. Okay. Here's another one that Paul Jenkins, he swears, yeah, it's coming back. It's coming back. In fact, he did, I'm pretty sure it was this year, where he did a podcast episode with John Suntress over at Word Balloon, where he mentioned, yeah, I'm working on some Replica that's going to come back, and we haven't seen it. So, I mean, he said he was all in. And if you're not familiar with it at all, basically it's sort of like Babylon 5, in that there's this space station out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody has bought it, or built it rather. They find it, like humans stumble across it, and it's massive. It's huge. It's like planet sized almost. And they don't know who built it. And half the station is kind of off limits to them. They can't access it. Anybody who tries to go into that part of the station is never seen or heard from again. But because it's there, and because it's so massive, they basically use it as sort of this melting pot, this metropolitan center, you know, space station where people can dock, and there's trade that happens there, and diplomacy, and yeah, just people live there. And it's just this huge metropolitan melting pot of all these different alien species. And there's a human that works there in the police force, and he has a hard time maintaining order, because the aliens don't always understand the rules, because of different cultures and this and that. And he thinks to himself how much easier his life would be if he had an assistant, but because his partner's Paul Jenkins describes his partner as a box of rocks with the rocks taken out. That's how dumb his partner is. And so he's like, man, if I just had a clone of myself for a partner, that would be better. So he goes to this company that does cloning, and something goes wrong. And instead of cloning him once, he gets cloned like 99 times. And now there's like 100 versions of him. And all the clones have
tattoos on their forehead with their number. So another thing that's cool about it is on the covers. So on the cover of issue one, you get like the original, but then on the cover of issue two, you get the clone that has the number two on his forehead. And the issue three on the cover, you get the clone that has the three and the four. And the covers tie in with kind of their personalities because they're not all exactly the same. And Paul Jenkins was, you know, on record as saying, you know, he wants to keep doing it until everybody gets their own cover. But then he got away from it. And then I don't know if Aftershock's not interested or what the deal is, but it hasn't come back. And it's too bad because it's amazing. It's such a great, great story. I love that.
Aftershock needs to chill and let some of these books come back. Replica's one of them. And then also Super Zero is another one that I ranted about on Twitter the other day because of a comment that Jimmy made saying that, hey, they wanted to do it, but Aftershock was not interested.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I like Super Zero also, for sure.
Yeah, and I bugged him for a while for it. And for a while, he just told me the artist isn't available because he's busy on the powerhouse that was, that is, or was Animosity.
Yeah, but now Animosity is on hiatus. So,
yeah.
But yeah, getting back to Replica, the art by Andy Clark, it's like the best work of his career. It's so detailed and amazing, especially all the crazy aliens and the colors are super bright and vibrant. Yeah, love that book, man. All right, what do you have up for your number? What is it, number three we're up to now?
Yep, number three, Ice Cream Man from Image Comics. God, I love that book.
So this is not the one that I was thinking about that you talk about all the time, but go ahead.
Well, it's one that I talk about all the time now. Just doesn't have the legs for it yet. It's up to what, 23 yesterday that we did, 22 or 23?
Yeah, and so correct me if I'm wrong. So you've been on this book since number one.
Yeah.
Have a full run.
I do.
Nice.
I have a full run for Ice Cream Man. I love, and the thing is, from the very beginning, it just the idea of an anthology with an Ice Cream Man as the kind of the Crypt Keeper. And I mean, just being able to also keep the creative team I don't have it in front of me. W. Maxwell Prince and then Chris O'Halloran. Chris O'Halloran's art on this book is
I thought he did the colors. Doesn't he do the colors? Isn't it?
Martin Morazzo, sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you're right. I screwed that up bad. Yeah, Martin Morazzo, his style of art on this book is perfect fit for it. It might not work for, let's say, like a Batman book, but his facial expressions, the way that he's able to convey fear on the faces of the characters, really, really does wonders for the writing that Prince does. And what makes it better is, so it's called Ice Cream Man because every issue is going to give you a different flavor. One might talk about drug addiction. Another one I remember deals with like some really twisted game show that they're watching on television. You have anxiety, you have indecisiveness. You have one in Spanish. They do a Dr. Seuss a book where they take the classic stories from Dr. Seuss and make them really, really twisted. I mean, just everything and anything is on the table for this, and it's all being curated by this like mythical crazy character called the Ice Cream Man, who's often associated with like spiders and cockroaches. And I mean, I find them very appealing, and I have not had an issue necessarily that I do not like. So that's why I Ice Cream Man is one of my favorite things to read. They had this foil cover that just came out though. I had it in my hands. It was like $45. And I put it down because I wasn't gonna spend $45 in 2020 on a current issue of anything.
For what issue? For 23?
Whichever one they did the foil cover for recently.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, look it up real quick while you go on to your next book.
All right, let me go on to my next book. Man, I don't know. Like I said, I have eight of them on here, and you haven't picked any of mine. So which one do I want to be sure that I talk about? I guess I gotta go with Die from Kieran Gillen and Stephanie Hans on art. And I'm not even an RPG-er like you are, and I absolutely love this book. It is It's dark. It's twisted. It's tragic. It's a little depressing. The art is all those things as well. The character interaction, they know about each other's flaws. They acknowledge each other's flaws. And that's what makes it so good. I mean, it's one of the best. So the first issue came out last December. It's been out for a year, and it's been one of the best books on the stands month in and month out ever since it debuted. And this isn't just me saying it, like, this is a critically acclaimed book. So did you ever, as soon as I read the first issue, I sent it over to you, the preview copy that Image sends us. And I told you, you got to read this book. And you came back to me a little while later, like, oh my God, so good. But are you caught up on it?
No, I think I got through 4, and then I just fell behind. It's not that I don't want to read it. Just fell behind.
Yeah. I'm not completely caught up either, but I'm further along than you are. And yeah, it's really good. All right. Did you look up that issue of Ice Cream Man?
Yeah. It's the Ice Cream Man quarantine special.
Ah, gotcha.
And it's a cover of him handing ice cream, and he has a mask on. And it's going up in price. It's going up. I was just mentioning it to you. I see it now even for $100.
Yeah, you could have doubled your money. Of course, if you bought it, you wouldn't want to sell it. So, all right, what's your next pick?
My next book is probably one that you be like, why hasn't he talked about this yet? Postal.
There it is. wait for it.
Top Cow, from Top Cow Productions via Image, written by Matt Hawkins, Brian Edward Hill, artwork by Isaac Goodhart and Rafael Yanko later, and covers by Linda Sajic. I remember that she did some good covers. But man, what a book! That was one of those early days of me, at least. You had already done it for years of doing conventions, and something that they were pushing, something new, something different. And it was Postal. I have a variant cover of the number one signed by the entire team, which was because they were all at the booth at the time, with Matt, Brian, Isaac. Troy Petrie was there, so he signed it too. And then also at the time, Betsy Gonia, who was the editor on the book, that I have that book. It's framed. It's on my wall. I love it. And yeah, it just holds a special place in my heart. It follows a small town of Eden. It's in Eden, Wyoming, and it is. I want to say sanctioned by the government. They just know about it. And it's kind of cut off from the rest of the world. And it's where criminals go that you do not want around. So you send them there instead of sending them to jail, or you just don't know what to do with them. You send them to Eden. But what's funny is because Eden is a town where crime isn't tolerated, and it's ran by the mayor and her, and what makes her great, I think her name was Linda. I forgot her name. Can't remember her name now. Great. That's bad.
Laura.
Anywho, the main character.
Isn't her name Laura?
Laura. Thank you. Laura. The main character of it is Mark, though. Mark he has
Asperger's.
Thank you. Asperger's. And he's different. And he's really the main character of the story, follows about all the things that happened in this town. And it's just really, really well written. And then it touches on different subjects. Even an ex, a white supremacy gang member who came and reformed himself in Eden. That was a great run, that storyline that they did. And to this day, I think they had a one shot just recently. And it was good. I love it. It was a really, really good run for Postal.
Yeah, the Top Cow optioned it for a TV series. It'll be interesting to see if that ever comes to pass. The other thing that I think about when we talk about Postal, it's been so long now, you know, that it first debuted. You know, it came out, it had a good long run, and then we had, it crossed over with that Edenverse event that Matt did, and then we've had a couple of one shots, a Laura one shot, a Postal Mark one shot. most recent talent hunt winners told some stories in the world of Postal. So it's been around. I feel like it's a veteran series. Yeah. But then I think about that and I think about, I can so clearly remember a time before Postal existed when Matt was really excited about Postal coming out. He used to tell me about it all the time at shows when I'd run into him. Yeah, man, it's going to be like witness protection for criminals. It's going to be so good. Like I can't believe that I don't want to say it's gone. It's come and gone because they can still tell stories in it, but it sort of had its, you know, peak already. And that's crazy to me. It just makes me think about how old I am, which is not, you know, any good. All right. I have five to choose from. It's so tough to pick. I'm going to go with letter 44.
Oh, that's really good.
From Charles Soule and Alberto Jimenez Albuquerque. And basically, so the name of the series, Letter 44, it stems from when the outgoing president is leaving office, like, you know, the day of or the day before, he writes a letter to the next president. And, you know, you'll write the name, you know, to whatever. And so what happens in this series is the 44th president is coming into office, and the letter that the previous president writes for him, the letter that is for president number 44, basically informs him that the government has been keeping a secret. The United States government has been keeping a secret from the entire population of not just the United States, but the world, that they have not only discovered alien life like out in the solar system, they have sent a manned space mission out to make contact with this alien life to determine, you know, if it's a threat and, you know, what it's all about. And, you know, obviously that mission takes, you know, a long time to get there. They had to build the ship and they had to man it. They had to secretly launch it. And so by the time all that's happening, another president has taken office. The previous president, 43rd president, was in office for 2 years. And all the decisions that once they found out that this alien vessel was out there, all the decisions he made, all the Warhawk-like decisions about getting the United States involved in all these wars was about, you know, developing technology and weapons to eventually equip these astronauts with that were going to make contact. So it's kind of a long form story, and it does have some time jumps at times, but it's written by Charles Soule. It's kind of one of the first things from Charles that I read, certainly first creator known. And it's just so good. It's one of those books where once you get sucked in, it's like at the top of your stack. You can't wait for the next issue. You want to read it. And it has a little bit of a 24, that TV series with, I wanted to say Keanu Reeves. Kiefer Sutherland is who the you know, 24 with the counterterrorism, Jack Bauer and all that. It has a little bit of that feel in it. And it's just, yeah, it's a really, really great series. It's completely done now. That is not a story or a world the way it ended where Charles could ever go back. So it's a completely done and finished product. And it's, you know, it's perfect just as it is in terms of, you know, a beginning, a middle, and an end. He doesn't need to go back and revisit it. It's just a nice, complete story. So yeah, really, really good. All right, Manny, this is your last one, right?
Yep. You want to guess what it is?
Is it one that just ended?
No.
Okay. I don't know then.
The one that started it all for me for independent comic books. Another Top Cat book, Think Tank.
Ah, so I thought about putting that one on there. I'm glad you did, because now I don't have to use it for my last pick. Go ahead.
It's Matt Hawkins with Rahsaan Ekdahl on art. And it's one of the first books that you introduced me to that was independent, that was not Batman, that was not big publisher, and it completely blew my mind. It's about Dr. David Lorin, who is a child prodigy, an inventor, a genius, and he works for the government. And what he does is he uses all his brain powers, all of that, intellect to make weapons and technology for the military until he decides that he doesn't want to do that anymore. Unfortunately, he's too smart for his own good. The military is not going to just let him go. So it's about him trying to basically get out of it in a way. And what makes this book really unique is that a lot of the tech, a lot of the ideas that Matt uses in it are then collected in the back in something that he calls science class. It's been a while since I read it.
Yeah, science class.
Science class. And he shows you where you can look up that particular tech or that idea, or where they're applying it, how they're applying it. And so there's like real world implications to everything that's in the book, which makes it really fun. Something that was really different for me at that time, because sometimes you get like, there's books like, I recall Superman Unchained, I think that's what it was called, where you read it and it was like, I called it a Capri Sun, because you just sucked it up real quick and there was nothing left, and or a bag of chips. Like there was no substance to it. This book not only has a good story, but then has that back substance that can keep you going back to the book, and even spark conversations, which made it completely open my world to comic books, of course, because now they weren't just Batman, they weren't just Spider-Man. It was real ideas and real stories. And obviously I learned after that about different genres and everything and in comic books and so much more. But this is the one for me, this one and Harbinger, that really widened my perspective.
Good pick. Now I don't have to use my last pick on that. I still have many to choose from. I'm gonna mention my honorable mentions first, I guess, just to name the other ones that are on here. And why ultimately I'm not going to go with them. So Gideon Falls is on my list, but since I haven't technically finished reading it and the last issue just came out, I'm not going to name that one, but it is absolutely amazing and you should read it. Skyward from Joe Henderson, Lee Garbett art. That's another great book. Super, super good. So good. The first collaboration for all those creators, and they actually have a new book coming out next year. And Joe is going to talk about it a little bit on the special Christmas episode where I got a chance to chat with him. And we'll have him back on when the book comes out to talk about it. It's called Shadecraft. So Skyward, definitely worth talking about. And then I have Morning Glories on my list from Nick Spencer and Joe Eisma. But that's another one that it was supposed to be 100 issues. They got to 50, went on hiatus. And here we are years and years later, and it hasn't come back. That one is like lost in terms of, you read an issue and it raises a bunch of questions. You can't wait. So you read, you want to read the next one, but it just raises more questions and you haven't gotten to the end. And I think Nick Spencer and Joe Eisma have gone on record as saying that they were inspired by Lost in terms of that. So those are all well worth your time, but number five on my list, or my fifth pick, since they're not in any particular order, is Lazarus from Greg Rucka. Art by Michael Lark. And this is sort of a dystopian future where there aren't countries anymore. The world is divided up into territories that are controlled by families. And these families are basically giant corporations. And they rule with an iron fist. It's kind of fascist. And resources can be scarce, so that causes problems. But the other thing that's cool about it is each family has what's known as a Lazarus, which is kind of like this genetically enhanced human fighting machine. You think of them as sort of like avatars for the family, or, you know, champions for the family. And so, you know, rather than going, I mean, not that they don't go to war, but there are times when they will decide disputes rather than going to war and wasting a bunch of resources, since resources all are scarce. They'll resolve conflict by basically pitting their Lazarus against each other. Lazaruses. Anyway, the Lazarus for each family will fight against each other. And Michael Lark's art is just sublime. It's so nuanced and beautiful. And the color work, a lot of grays and blues, you know, the world's kind of running down. And so it suits the book for it to be kind of drab like that. And it, this is the same creative team that did the, was it the GCPD, the Gotham Police Department series that, that the Gotham TV show was eventually based on. And when I first, the first time I met Greg Rucka, he was actually tabling at a show with Michael Lark. And we talked about that. And they were a little salty about the fact that this Gotham TV show was about to come out based on their work. And that they weren't going to get anything for it. They did not, they weren't too happy about that. But mostly we just talked about Lazarus because it's an incredible book. So that's my last pick. You have any honorable mentions, Manny? Anything else you considered?
Not that I really can think off the top of my head right now. Yeah, I don't. That's insane because I've read so much. Crowded.
That's a good one.
That was a really good one. Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of good non-superhero books. Neither one of us is a fan of Saga. That if you Google you know, non-superhero books, that one always
yeah, it's like Saga.
So that's interesting. Neither one of us picked that. Middle West was another one that I from Image. God, I just had one in my head and I lost it. 100 Bullets is another one. Why the Last Man is another one. Ex Machina from Brian K. Vaughan that I just read is another one. Paper Girls, which is soon going to be an Amazon show, is another one. So yeah, there's if you're like, oh, I don't like superheroes, that's all comics are, man. You're so wrong. Any of the five Manny named, any of the five I named are all definitely worth your time. So, all right, I guess that's going to do it for this episode of the Comic Source Podcast. Being that it's the holiday season, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, whatever you celebrate, Kwanzaa, Festivus, all those. Be sure that you are responsible and you're safe, but definitely enjoy your holidays. So that's going to do it for this episode. As always, we want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.